Occupy Boston, for almost 2 weeks now, has gone through some big changes. It can be called growing pains in a very literal sense, as the encampment attempted to expand beyond its original boundary in Dewey Square. On Monday, declared Indigenous Peoples Day by the General Assembly, the mood was somewhat festive, as it was unseasonably warm, and being a holiday, many people came out for the first time to check out the scene. The Second Line Social Aid and Pleasure Society Marching Band led a march to a nearby bridge. Grace Ross, former Green Party candidate for governor, explains the action.
So the focus is jobs, and one of the places where the governor is sitting on money is money to repair the bridges. So we're headed down to the bridge.
As a focal point.
As a focal point.
Excellent.
This action right now, joined with the unions.
So are you out here representing unions or representing the Green Party, or what's your affiliation here?
So I'm not a Green Party member anymore. I got asked to come down and help with training on nonviolence and stuff, so I don't know that I'm here under any particular affiliation. You know, I am a UAW member. I guess I could claim that affiliation today, UAW 1981.
Excellent. And what do you think of the growing occupation movement in general?
Well, Worcester, which is where I live, just started yesterday with 200 people at the first event, so it's moving.
The Occupy movement has sprung up in almost every major city, and some minor ones too. Prior to this march, there was a large act of civil disobedience. Somewhere between 50 and 100 people are sitting down in the intersection of Atlantic Avenue and Summer Street, right across from South Station. Have effectively shut down the intersection in both directions. Both streets are closed. My fear of this blatant act was that the protesters might antagonize the police to the point where they would move in and arrest them. That did not happen at this time, but of course would come later in the evening as the occupation attempted to expand into the next block of parkland. This is class warfare, but you started it, love the 99%, were among the visible signs during the sit-in. Birgit is an older college student who had foreclosure issues in her recent past.
My personal financial matters is just one little piece of the puzzle to a much bigger problem in this country. I'm just one of millions of people that are experiencing difficulty in various levels, from job problems, business problems, real estate problems. So it's not just a mortgage issue, it's a job issue, it's a family issue, it's a society issue, it's an economy issue. And what's upsetting is I see this government not doing anything to help those in need, not seeing or helping the people who actually help build this economy, but instead big corporate interests are being helped. Big corporate interests are receiving bailouts with taxpayers' money. And it's the corporate interests, in my opinion, that got us into this mess. The banks, the Wall Street of America, and not just in this country, internationally. And I think it's very upsetting when we see lobbyists having more power than the voters. So I ask you, do we really have any more democracy, or has our system really turned into an aristocracy?
Tim Howe is a recent college graduate who's been at Occupy Boston since day one.
Growing up, you're always told to go to college because when you get out, you're going to have a good job and you're going to be able to live free and prosper. And then I get out of college and there's no jobs, there's no money, and I have massive amounts of debt to pay back, and that I'll be paying back well into my 50s.
During the night, Monday night, the police cleared out the expanded occupation site and arrested over 100 people. I returned to the occupation Tuesday evening to gauge the mood and found it quite resilient. At dusk, I found Courtney staffing the information table at one of the entrances to the site.
We're nervous that because, you know, cops are feeling freedom to do this here, that in other cities they're going to say, all right, we're fed up too, why don't we just do what they did? So we're hoping it's no kind of, not necessarily a national movement, but a national feeling amongst the police enforcement.
Well, the whole occupation movement has been just a national feeling amongst people who are fed up with the system.
Right, absolutely. And that's why we're still here and why there's still people coming back. And I'd say there's way more people here today inquiring about what happened last night. We were kind of rooting for you guys for the sidelines. Is there some way we can get involved? So you know what, the 100 people really did take a hit for the team because we are getting a lot more coverage and hopefully more people are going to come help us out after what happens.
Pat Scanlon, a Vietnam veteran for peace, was one of those arrested. He recalls what happened the night before.
And our intent, and some of the Iraqi vets joined us, was to be a barrier between the police and the demonstrators, to protect the demonstrators. That was our goal.
You figured the police would respect you guys as military service?
No, I know better than that. But we let them know that we were veterans. As they were coming through us, we were saying, we are U.S. veterans. We are veterans of the United States of America. We are veterans of the United States of America. That didn't mean anything. In fact, when they came through, Rachel, right next to me, we were all locked arms. She had the American flag, and they just came right through. And the people that were in the head of the police, they were huge. They looked like they all played a linebacker for some football team. But they seemed to come right at us because of that American flag. And they ripped it out. Rachel was one of the first ones to be dragged away, and then I was knocked to the ground, and my guys were knocked too. But we held our ground as hard as we could, you know, to protect those behind us. And that's and I think that the people here really respected the fact that we were putting ourselves out front to take the biggest hit, mm-hmm. you know, the strongest hit, and that's what we did. And we're proud to take the hit for the movement.
And the experience didn't scare you away. You're back here for more.
No. Look, Jason, myself, I'm a Vietnam vet, and he's an Iraq vet. You know, it doesn't scare me. We knew we were going to take some licks last night. Look what it's done. You know, one, it's endeared us, Veterans to Peace, to everybody here, because they know that we're at the front of the line. You know, they know that we're taking the hit. But at the same time, it's all over the world. This is just one of those events that is just building this whole movement, and we were just really proud to be part of it last night.
Well, thank you for doing your part and help building it.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, good
thank
luck.
Thank you. Yeah, you too.
The car right now, if anybody's got a vehicle to go to Copley, we got a huge donation.
Huge donation of food from Copley to bring to Occupation Boss. If somebody has a car, come see Dan right here to help get the food here.
Organizing was still going on, and people were not being deterred by the previous night's police action. During an open mic session before the General Assembly, Kwame Sambore, an elder black man, raised people's spirits.
It doesn't matter what you are, as long as you're a decent human being and you're out to help humanity. And this is something really very exciting to me. I've been active since 1960. I'm lucky to be 77 years old on Thursday. I've been part of many demonstrations and activities over the years, both on a national basis and even internationally. We need a democratic society for the workers and the oppressed people, our democracy, not theirs. And it's their constitution, it is not ours. They organized that constitution in a secret meeting with 55 privileged white men behind closed doors in the spring of 1787, with armed guards at the door. Women were not there. Poor whites were not there. Blacks were not there. American Indians were not there. It's their constitution. It is not our constitution. We don't need to worry about amending theirs. We need to get our constitution together.
Now that's what I'm talking about, coming out for equality and justice.
For every person that they arrest, 100 more people are going to show up and support. And, you know, as you can see, it hasn't affected us in a negative way. It's actually built solidarity, because if you were here last night, you would have seen people locking arms, just trying to hold our ground, remaining peaceful. And then the riot squad came in and they exterminated the problem, but they didn't take care of the root. And we're going to grow back stronger than ever.
Tim Howe, speaking the night after the arrests. It was clear the occupiers were determined to focus on the reasons the occupation movement began. Here again is Birgit, who admitted she was angry, but very passionately committed to the cause.
The Middle East was influenced by democracy. We, in turn, are being influenced by the Middle East Spring or movement that has happened there. Because people are saying here, hey, if they can do it there, if they can stand up against their government and against the system, we can do it here. If anything, we should have started it. Not the Middle East, not Cairo, not Syria. But yet, they're the ones who actually really jump-started this movement. It is inevitable. You can only for so long take the public, and then you have a breaking point.
From the ongoing Occupy Boston site, I am Chuck Rosina with a continuing series of radio reports for the Boston Community Radio Project.